Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Yes, here's John Stanko, Internet Radio Land. I know you've been waiting with bated breath to hear from me again, and it's a quick turnaround from yesterday. Yesterday, I finished up my fourth in my series on finding your purpose. My basic message started last week on Friday, giving you good questions. We took Monday off. Tuesday, we looked at Acts chapter 6 and how that relates to your purpose. Then Wednesday, we looked at purpose statements from the Bible and from some from my practical experience of coaching. And then yesterday, I gave three very basic steps to facilitate you finding and fulfilling purpose. Seek the Lord. Don't overlook the simple things and be willing to work. And so I took the week off from guests and with the express purpose of trying to finish up some projects. I just talked in my Facebook Live presentation that I did pretty much finish the rough draft of the additional section on my Changing the Way We Do Church. I say I almost finished as I have some Monday memos that I have included about self-promotion and permission marketing and invite yourself to the party, trying to provide a theology, what I'm calling a theology of social media and communication. So I just have to go through. Those are already in. I just want to go through them and tweak them a little bit. Then I'm going to go back to the main body of the book, which was published in 2009, go through that and make that current. I'll have to write a new introduction to explain the new edition. And then we will be ready to send it off to production. My goal was to have that, not the production part of it, but to have the rough draft done by the end of May. So this gave me some extra minutes to be able to do that this week, and I am grateful that you gave me the time off to be able to do that. I want to remind you that if you're listening in, that my friend and colleague Steve Pieski and I will be starting creativity sessions online starting Sunday, June the 7th. We're going to do them twice a week. Unfortunately for my Kenya friends, they're going to be a little late or a little early, depending on how you look at it. Sunday night will be 6 p.m., which would be 1 a.m. in Kenya, and Wednesday nights they're going to be 8 o'clock, which would be even later, 3 in the morning. But I do want to, anybody who is listening who would be interested, these will be online sessions. We'll be using my book of Unlocking the Power of Your Creativity. And we actually have somebody registered from Kenya who is going to be participating. And so come one, come all. The link to register, it is free. You do need to register. It is on my Facebook page. I will be posting it again tomorrow. I've been doing it every other day. And it doesn't start this weekend. It starts next weekend. I also want to remind you, we crossed the 200 subscriber mark for the free mobile app for Purpose Quest International, and I sent off about 15 of my video preached messages that are in the process of being uploaded and added to what is already on the app. So the app is giving you access to some really relevant and pertinent material where purpose is concerned. So it's free, and you can go to the iTunes, the Apple Store, you can go to Google Play, you can go to Amazon and download the Purpose Quest International app, and especially for my friends in Kenya, this is an easy way and an efficient way for us to stay connected, and so I hope you will avail yourself of this. Now, Irene is waiting in the wings, and so I know she's had a busy day, and I really appreciate her taking the time. carving out the time to be able to be with us today. And the show we did a couple weeks ago is by far and away the most popular show that we have in the archives. And so if you didn't hear that last show, you want to just go to the link that you're using to listen to this show, and there's an archives and episodes, and you can go and find that. And because we're not probably going to talk about the same things today that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, so I want you to be fully exposed to what it is that Irene, who I, not jokingly, call my best student in the world. She has listened to what I've said, as many people have done, but boy, she went out and did it. And I am just so admire her determination and her enthusiasm. And somebody wrote me after the last show, or no, one of Irene's live Facebook live broadcasts said, boy, when she gets into purpose, she is focused. And I said, that's right. She is the purpose leader. And so it overtakes her, and we are all the better for it. Before we get to speaking to Irene, I want to read you Psalm 95. I departed from Psalm 91, which I used at the beginning of every show for about the first 7 or 8 weeks that I've been back on this podcast show. Now I've moved on, and we're at Psalm 95. Let me read that to you, and then we'll bring Irene on. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And I've done lots of writing and speaking on the concept of rest. You can go to stankobiblestudy.com and see some of the things that I have written. I did a daily devotional for leadership called The Leadership Walk, and every day there is a leadership step to take, but every 7 days there's a rest stop. So I wrote 52 entries on rest that are available on Stanko, johnstanko.us. So I've got two places, stankobiblestudy.com and johnstanko.us, where I have some, I think, a unique perspective on the concept of rest. And I am not a Sabbatarian. I think I won't go into what I say, because that will get us off track. And you know where they are, johnstanko.us and stankobiblestudy.com. Anyway, without further ado, let me bring Irene on. Irene Morathi, it's spinning. There she is. Irene, welcome back to Wake Up to Purpose.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stanko. How are you today?
I am very well. I know you've had a busy day. It's only noon here, and I've been the same. And I told my Facebook listeners I had a lease car I'd had for 3 years, and the lease expired in the middle of the pandemic. And today was the first day I was able to drop it off, so I was very relieved to get that out of my house. And but business is good, publishing is good, and people are engaging their creativity, and I think there's more to come. But let me ask you, before we get started in talking about purpose things and renewing of the mind, how are things in Kenya? What's the latest on the pandemic, the economy? Just share your perspective, please.
Kenya is awesome, as usual. It's a great country, but it has its own share of challenges. And I would like to confirm if you can hear me well. I think the sound today, can you hear me well?
Yes, we're good. Yes, thank you.
Okay, excellent. So the numbers keep rising a little bit of those who have died from the last time we did the show, and also those who are infected. But I believe people are taking the measures that the government has put out here. So we still have the 7 p.m. curfew, and people are still encouraged to work from home. But just recently, I think it's a weekend ago, the president said that, I mean, he cannot, as the head of state, tell people to work from home and, you know, the restrictions, even the movement, because right now we have restrictions from certain counties to other counties. That is not sustainable in the long run. So that's what he said. And so he was, it's a way of telling us that we might be coming back to normalcy, but we need to be responsible to do what is right so that everyone can stay safe.
Yeah, and of course we're emerging state by state over here while cases are still being declared and on the rise, and there's great controversy around that. And of course you wrote me the other night about the very tragic police brutality death that was filmed up in Minneapolis. So these are very interesting times. I just encouraged everybody on Facebook Live to let's capture good things that are happening too. I mean, social media is very good to show us the reality that's not so pleasant, but we need to be as aggressive in broadcasting the good that God is doing, as well as the others, the wickedness that the enemy is about. What's the economic situation? How do you read that? And I know that's a very broad question, because here there are good things and not so good things, but what's the overall overall position in Kenya?
Well, I think just like any other country, there are those who are really affected in terms of people have lost jobs, and you'd know a hotel like one of the five-star hotels that I'm sure you really know, they just announced the other day they've closed indefinitely, and all staff, you know, have been asked to leave. But at the same time, the government allowed restaurants like Java to reopen and people can sit in, but with the new arrangements, you know, like you have to keep the distance. So I guess it has affected different people differently. And it's interesting because we know globally there are those who are thriving in the crisis financially. For example, Zoom, right? And then there are those who are very affected because their source of livelihood has been taken away. So it's the same thing in Kenya. You will see people who have lost jobs and probably didn't have any other side thing that they were doing, and so even putting food on the table becomes difficult. But at the same time, like personally, like I shared in the last show, this is a time where my business has really picked up. So it's different things for different people, but generally it's a tough time economically for people in Kenya.
Yeah. What? Let's refresh our listeners' memory. What exactly are your work initiatives now that are going so well? How are you broadcasting or coaching or approaching the purpose issue? What are you involved in right now?
On the 28th of March, together with a PDI alumni who is now my business partner, Coach Betty Mwaura, we were able to launch an executive and exclusive coaching class, and that picked well. And then on 1st of May, we launched an online class revolving around mindset change and money, mindset change and money makeover, just changing our money stories, and that has also picked up well. So that's what I would say. You know, shifting the classes from the traditional classes I've done for the last 10 years to an online platform. One, it gave people the ability to just join in from wherever they are. We actually have some Kenyan students, but they're based in New York in the online courses. And secondly, the fact that people are home, I think for most people, they had slowed down from very busy work schedules, and that time allowed them to reconsider, you know, taking personal development classes.
Yeah. So you have a mindset makeover and a money makeover. Is this two separate tracks, two separate classes?
It's a one class addressing two things, mindset and money makeover. Yeah.
Very good. Well, when we very briefly talked last week, you had said you wanted to, thought it would be good for us to talk about mind issues, mind matters, mindsets. So why don't you go ahead and give us, a general overview of how you're approaching this mindset initiative, and then we can get into some more of the specifics.
I have a passion, and I know that you know that because it's even the foundational tagline or the Bible verse that we is the foundation of the Personal Development Institute, and that is Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2, where it says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." And so I consider that as the the greatest secret and hidden in plain sight, that God himself through the written word would actually tell us that transformation comes through the renewal of the mind. And that's why I'm big on us changing our mindset, changing the way we think, because transformation does not come any other way unless we change our thought processes. And I find that there is a lot of scripture that supports the whole movement on mindset change. And we know, because you're also in the personal development industry, the purpose, you're my purpose coach, so you're really seasoned in this more than I am. Even those who teach purpose and success from a new age perspective, or even people of different religions, there's always an aspect of the mind. Or even if you look at psychology and different philosophies, it all comes back to the mind. You're what you think. And we find that even in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so when I discovered this truth growing up just as a baby, well, maybe as a Christian, it's been a journey that I'm still devoted to date, and I know you are, to allow the truth of the Word of God, which is now what we would call the kingdom message, to set our minds free, as opposed to religious teachings that don't really see the need of the mind being renewed. So that's my foundation. We have to renew our mind to experience transformation.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Irene Marathi all the way from Nairobi, Kenya, and she is the president of the Personal Development Institute. And through PDI, thousands of lives have been transformed and changed in Kenya. I can attest to that. And Irene lets me enjoy some of the fruit of her labors when I go over there, and I've spent a lot of time with many of her her graduates. You know, Irene, let's backtrack a little bit. You know, we've been so grooved as believers, and especially those who may be more of a Pentecostal, charismatic worship expression, that our transformation comes from the Holy Spirit and is what I call external, a touch of the Holy Spirit. And, sometimes we fall down, or sometimes we have an encounter. But what you're saying, and I certainly subscribe to it, is that much of our transformation has to come from within, through a renewing of the mind. And Romans 12:2 says we will be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Talk to us a little bit more about that. I mean, and I know you're very exuberant in your worship expression, so you're used to seeing Holy Ghost encounters that people have, yet you are emphasizing this need for the transformation to come within. Expand on that a little bit more for us.
I'm in agreement with you, and quote unquote, I would fall in the Pentecostal circle of worshipers, but I did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I want to add, even with the evidence of speaking in other tongues at the age of 14, growing up in the village, and I would say the one thing that the Holy Spirit has constantly led me to is the transformation of the mind. So I think sometimes it's People don't want to put the hard work because transformation of the mind requires work. They want the shortcut. They think if I am slain by the Holy Spirit, and it can happen genuinely, and then, of course, we have experts who fake it world over. But people think just that one touch. I believe if you encounter the Holy Spirit, the first place it begins to change you is to change your mind so that you can understand new creation realities. You're now a new creature. The old is gone. And that is a process that comes by constantly renewing our mind after the truth, kingdom truth, the word of God. But I also believe that there are many other good sources of transformation of the mind, like reading books that can change us. Like one of the books I read in 2005 that actually prepared me to now meet you in 2007 is a book on rediscovering the kingdom of God. And I realized, oh, this is not what I was taught growing up in a mainstream church. I was not, they didn't teach me bad doctrine, but they didn't teach me that everything can be summarized by the kingdom of God. So when my mind was opened up to the kingdom, I began to then realize I must have a purpose in this kingdom. And that's why I became very hungry. And when I met a purpose coach, I was like, he must help me to clarify what my life purpose is. So what's my point? Besides the Bible, I read a book that gave me new thoughts, new information to process. And that information was rediscovering the kingdom of God as opposed to just being tied up to religious concepts and ideals. So people want a quick fix. Even in terms of giving, people want to put an offering and become rich overnight. It doesn't happen because we see even the proper kingdom principles of, yes, giving and receiving is a principle in the word of God. But there is seed time, then harvest. So there is time. What are you doing in that time, you know?
So
there's a place to... I think we must call it out because it's what it is. Some people are where they are, even though they are spirit-filled, even though they may speak in tongues, but they go through cycles and, you know, cycles and going round circles because they have not invested in developing their mind and shifting their mindset.
Yeah, and of course, you and I, we got involved with some training through the Pacific Institute, and which was a secular organization, but it taught people how to think, which sounds like such a strange objective in a seminar. But when I went through it, I in 2005, I realized how many limits I was putting on God and on myself, and so I started to attack my thinking, which is what they recommended that we do, the thoughts that I had. And just to give our listeners some samples, you know, if you have a child that says if they think they're no good in math, they could be the most intelligent child that walks the streets in your city, but if they don't think they're good in math, they're not going to allow themselves to be good in math. And we try to persuade them and we try to encourage them. But until they change at the core of their thinking, that's how I used to be. But I am intelligent and math is no different for me than English. Until they frame their thoughts properly, they're going to continue to walk in less than what they could be walking in because their thinking is insufficient. And I had to face, I was in the same category as they were. I did not believe that I could make enough money to save money. Therefore, I borrowed money freely because my thinking was wrong. When I change my thinking is when I turn my finances around. I had as much money, but the money didn't change. I changed. And then I started to go after, you know, I was saying I would do one book a year, and then I changed my mind and set a goal to do two and to do three. And now I'm up to about five books a year and working on multiple projects. And Irene and our listeners, the only thing that changed, now I got better as a writer, but what basically changed was my thinking and my approach to what it was that God wanted me to do. So I can attest to the transformational power of a change of thinking. Irene, I'm sure you've seen examples or have examples of your own life where that has played out as well.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for bringing the teachings, the training program from the Pacific Institute, and allowing me to sit in the training. And I have books, I have I have all the works from that workshop, mm-hmm. and it really is transformational. And I do hope that at some point we can do this again, either online or even when the nations open, because you need to come back to Kenya again. And I believe even those who are listening to me and my friends on Facebook, I'd highly recommend that you attend this training when we host it again with Dr. Stanko, whether online or physical. Because as you said, it's a secular program, and I realize there are so many things that we brand as secular, but if you go in and interrogate the principles, they're actually it's actually the Word of God, but
right.
packaged in a way that appeals to everybody. I'm sure that you're aware of the movie and also the book, The Secret, and mm-hmm. I did read it. Some of my friends in the bank, because that time I was still working in the bank, would not even touch it because they felt this is too secular. It's going
right.
to contaminate me. And I think the believers need to change that thought, because you are saying we change when we change how we think. Because if you think at it strictly, God created everything, including the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So even what is secular or from the kingdom of darkness, everything has its origin in God. And so what some Christians have done, is to shy off and to brand every material out there as secular and miss going into it to reclaim the principles that are actually, for us, the children of the light.
Yeah, yeah.
So
well put.
My mind also, when I changed the way I think about different things, it's been a total turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, and we've often told people, well, you need to memorize the word, and I'm for memorizing the word. But if our thinking isn't right, even if we memorize the word, it's still not going to have its place in our behavior. And I'll give an example. We can memorize 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, yet still walk in a lot of fear. Walk in the fear
right.
of finding our purpose, walking in fear of fulfilling our purpose, being fearful of our creativity. So we can go to church for 2 hours, and we can jump, and we can dance, and we should, and we can hear good preaching, and we can memorize those principles. But it still comes down to applying them and aligning all of our thoughts with the truth, and not just holding to a platitude or a truth without accurately applying it in our life. And so I know you're biblical through and through, but you've seen that, I'm sure you've seen that same thing in your own experience, where people know the word but they're still not transformed.
Exactly, because there's been no renewal of their mind. And I was, just before the show, I was looking up John 6:29, and the Bible says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And those were words that Jesus was talking, and he was basically, in a nutshell, saying, your work is to believe. And I realized we can actually say that we are in the belief business. Because that's
mm-hmm.
what Jesus, he wants us to believe. But what
mm-hmm.
kind of belief systems have we allowed ourselves to run on? If you were to
mm-hmm.
look at beliefs like a software, is your software positive or is it negative? And
mm-hmm.
I know we don't have much time. We just have like 30 minutes to go. But we see that it moves from actually now the beliefs, and that feeds into our self-talk, our self-image, the kind of affirmations that we make about ourselves and others and even about our nations. But it all starts with the mind, and we can't overemphasize And to all our listeners, both in Kenya, in the U.S., or whoever else is tuned in, we can't overemphasize that we need a renewal of our minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Irene Morathi, my friend, my protege, my purpose partner from Kenya, the head of Personal Development Institute. Go ahead, Irene. Finish what you were going to say.
For example, we see that even the Great Commission, Jesus said, go to all nations. He gave us a big picture. Yet you find that people like to really think small and talk small because of something you have taught me. You have really helped me to walk away from false humility. Because sometimes you don't even realize that it's false humility when you're trying to play small. But Jesus mandated us to go into all nations. And even if you look at the book of Genesis, the dominion mandate, it was to be fruitful and to multiply. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where the thoughts, whether we get them from culture or from education or just from religion, that we're just supposed to play small. And that doesn't serve the world. And so I'm going to say, like today, we hosted Coach Robert Schmidt from Dubai, and yesterday we hosted Coach JT from Dubai. And I'm able to do these things together with Coach Betty because our thinking is liberated. We think global and act locally. So we must allow the Word of God to transform us. We must be one with the Word of God. And like you've given an example, I've seen a lot of it online, and we're not saying that people should be responsible, but people are even quoting other scriptures to sort of justify their fear.
Go ahead.
We've really got to, like, call ourselves into a meeting and ask ourselves, am I being authentic? Are these thoughts in line with the Word of God or not?
Yeah, and we're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and that means thoughts and habits and ways, attitudes are built up over time, and we have to attack them and replace the thoughts with new thoughts, and that is where the transformation comes about. I was reading in Mark, and it's in all the three Gospels, the multiplication of the loaves and fish. Their thinking was, there's no way we can feed these people, Jesus. They said, you have to send them home so they can go in the surrounding villages to buy food. And he said, you give them something to eat. And their thinking was, no way. Now, they had seen him walk on water. They had seen him cast out devils. They had seen him heal and raise the dead. But they said, there's no way we can feed the people. And Jesus said, what do you have? And Andrew, in fact, the story's in all four Gospels. Andrew said, and I think it was a joke, he said, oh, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but that's not enough. Jesus said, bring them here. Sat the people down, prayed, blessed, distributed, and they collected multiple baskets of leftovers. What did Jesus do there? He changed their thinking. They thought they didn't have the resources, and he showed them that their thinking was wrong.
Right.
And there are other examples of that where he took them to the woman at the well, and their thinking was God would never do anything among the Samaritans because we don't like the Samaritans. So he goes, and of course it's a good purpose story because when they came back with lunch, he said, I'm not hungry anymore because I have food to eat that you don't understand. And that's the power of purpose. It nourishes us, it feeds us, it strengthens us. Do you have some favorite biblical examples that you could share that also demonstrate the limited thinking of the people of God, or biblical examples?
Maybe not one that I can think offhand, but what I have done in the last 1 year after I took a certain coaching program, a 1 year coaching program, they introduced us to the concept of looking at Jesus as a coach. And when you look at Jesus as a coach, you begin to see him post questions the same way you post one question in 2007 to me that mm-hmm. changed my life forever. And for the sake of our first-time listeners, that question was, you looked at me straight in the eye and said, what are you doing in the bank?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was not a closed question. I could not say yes or no. It was a question that, gave me space to reflect. And so what I have seen in scriptures in the last 1 year, I've been very deliberate to see the kind of questions that Jesus asked the disciples or the kind of questions that he posed to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these religious people. And you'll find that if you look at those questions critically, Jesus wanted them to change the way they think. If they were to reflect and give him an honest answer, it would have involved a paradigm shift.
Yeah, and to that extent, the whole New Testament, you know, then becomes a coaching instrument to. Now, obviously, we need to be regenerated. We need the born again experience, and with the born again experience, we still bring a lot of baggage from the past. We bring our old thinking. God doesn't wipe our minds clean. We then have to go back and not just apply the word, but apply it properly. And if there is a conflicting thought with the word, then we need to eradicate that thought. And most people don't believe they can change their thinking, that somehow God has to do that and it's going to be supernatural and they don't have a role in it. But if I hear you correctly, you're saying, no, we do have a role in that. We do see something that Jesus would say to us, and we think it through, and then we come to new conclusions, and that leads to new behavior. Is that correct?
Right. And I've actually remembered a scripture because I preached on it in a certain conference last year and also some time back in Zimbabwe. And it's the resurrection story where Jesus comes in and they're thinking he's a ghost, and they mm-hmm. have to sort of give him fish and bread to, mm-hmm. and he's saying, look, a ghost does not eat. Then it ends up by saying, he opened up their minds that they mm-hmm. may understand the scriptures. And mm-hmm. I find that very powerful. They had lived with Jesus, they had witnessed his death, and they were not now even believing the resurrection.
mm-hmm.
And when he appeared to them in that private room, he had to actually open up their mind, their way of thinking, so that they could understand the scriptures. I think that's a prayer that we need to make for the church today globally,
mm-hmm.
and even for the citizens of nations, because until our minds are transformed, then we will have a victim mindset where we believe that we are not progressing because of the government, and governments do have a role. And
sure.
But sometimes I see, especially in our country, and you've been here, that some people will blame everything on the government, yet you have your own potential. And in my book, which you did the forward many years back, Celebrate the Hard Times, I said that the government is not responsible for the unlocking of your purpose and potential. They are responsible for other things like security, to give you security so that you're in a safe country. But you've got
mm-hmm.
to transform your mind to unlock your own potential.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah,
so we have people also.
Mm-hmm.
We have also people who constantly blame their employers because of where they are financially. You know my story. I mean, I've had to create wealth, lose it, you know, rise up again and create again, because my mind is not fixated on blaming anyone. Then we have
mm-hmm.
people who are also constantly blaming the church, oh, this pastor, that pastor. And it all goes back to show that our minds need to be renewed to first of all take the obvious opportunity, which is your own personal growth and development.
Yeah, well put. We've talked, we went through our seminar and it taught us how to make affirmations, statements, positive statements of the future as if it was it is already here. And, you know, again, people concern that's not biblical, you know, that's name it and claim it. But I always go to the example that I am the righteousness of God. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean I'm perfect, but that is that's what I'm affirming. That's my aspiration. And if I say, well, I'm not quite perfect, I don't love as much as I should, that's focusing on the negative. That becomes my focus. But if I focus on the affirmation, I am the righteousness of God. I am an author. What I read, people enjoy, and I write simply so people can understand. That's all present tense. And it's such a faith statement because it is reaching into the future and bringing the future into the present, and our mind wars against that. Oh, it's a lie. You know, you can't say that. You're a Christian. How could you say something like that? It's because it's true. In Christ, I am complete. And I am walking that out, and I am assimilating that as I go. And so this was so liberating. My favorite Old Testament example is David with Goliath, who the whole army looked at Goliath, and their thinking was, this guy's too big to fight. David comes along, having had some success with the bear and the lion. He looks at Goliath. He says, this man's too big to miss. You know, I'm a good enough slingshot worker that I can get. All I need is that little space in his forehead that isn't covered by any kind of armor. I can take him. And
right.
That's, I think, who God wants us to be. I think that's how he wants us to approach our purpose and our creativity. How do you see all this playing into, you're a purpose coach, you're a life coach. I mean, you're more than a purpose coach. How does all this play into purpose and creativity from your perspective?
I enjoyed learning about affirmations from that training that you brought at the Pacific Institute. And to be honest, I don't know why believers struggle with affirmations, because I see the whole issue of affirmations and self-talk, I see it in the Word of God. When God changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, calling him the father of many nations, even Ishmael, leave alone Isaac, the promised son, had not been born yet.
Right.
But God was creating a picture, you know, he was helping Abraham imagine, you know, so there is the whole issue of imagination, and he very much asked him to actually look at the stars, and so God was getting him into a place where he would begin to speak the future. And we know even in scripture in the New Testament, I think it's in the book of Romans chapter 4, where it says he calls those things that be not as though they are.
That is correct.
And that to me is the whole concept of affirmations and also self-talk, because we also read, he says, let the weak say, I am strong. He doesn't say, let the weak say, I shall be strong. It comes to the present tense. Let the weak say, I am now strong. And if you look at even the secular world and what they teach about the power of words, I believe it's because this universe was created when God spoke, you know, when he said, let there be light, and there was light. And so that means whether you're going to take it from the biblical approach or even a secular approach, there is power in the words that we release out, you know, and we become what we say. But what guides our affirmation? You cannot make an affirmation of something you don't believe in yet. So it goes back to us changing our mindset, and then now based on the imprinted new thoughts, we can begin to speak. Let me give you one example. I have always, even before I met you, before I became a certified life coach, just the inspirational talks that I would give in churches, and especially even here in the slums. When I was working in the bank, one of my personal social responsibility giving back would be to go to the slum churches, print out notes, pay for themselves, and just give a motivational talk. And I always said, I am an international motivational speaker. That's many years back, and now I feel that by the grace of God, I'm living that dream, because here is Kenya, U.S. tonight. Earlier on, it was Kenya, Dubai. But it came because I believed that, but I also have constantly spoken it. So there's a place to affirm ourselves, and there's a place for constructive self-talk, not pride, constructive self-talk. And it's what in the Pacific Institute they call the smart talk. There's a place that plays into our purpose and everything else.
Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be that we're declaring it from the rooftops. We are saying it to ourselves. We are controlling our internal dialogue, which is going on constantly. And you know, you make a wrong turn, you idiot. You know, you knuckle. Well, you always do that. You're always slow. You're always late. You always miss those numbers up. You don't add them properly, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And what we're talking about is being conscious of that dialogue that is going on, and instead of allowing it to go on with no conscious input from you, dispute your own self-talk. Say, wait a minute, I'm not stupid. You know, I got a master's degree. You know, I get afraid that I'm going the wrong way, and I make the, you know, I've made decisions too quickly and made wrong turns. But that's not who I am. I am, and you don't have to be saying that to a room full of people. The most important thing is that you say it to yourself. On my Facebook Live, I've been reading some of my book excerpts, and I'll read them, and I'll go about this, and I say, this is pretty good. You know, I'm not always an effective pastor. I did not like pastoring, but I'm a pretty good writer. God made me a good writer, and I can say that. And so the whole affirmation, self-talk, awareness changed my life, and I'm very conscious now of the dialogue that I have going on in my mind. And I think from what you're saying, you are too.
Yes, I am, because I realized that small talk cannot get me anywhere. I can't fulfill my purpose by just engaging in small talk, because a lot of the small talk is founded on false humility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that you give the example of I am the righteousness of God, because that's one of the affirmations I make quietly within my spirit for the longest time, and especially when I've had my low moments in this purpose journey, I rise up on the inside. I say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And what does that mean? I have right standing with God. And so if I have right standing with God, God is for me. He's not against me. And even when I did make business mistakes, and you know that story, you know, because of engaging in high recurrent expenditure, and I went through a financial wilderness, I kept reminding myself, despite my mistakes, I still have right standing with God. And therefore, God will help me to rebuild myself and to rebuild the business. And that is what is actually happening right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and even the book that I mentioned in the introduction, I had put off for a year and a half writing. You know, I was afraid. I know some of the people in the church won't receive it well. And about 3 weeks ago, I said, enough. My goal is to have it done by the end of May. And I changed my thinking. I stopped. I controlled my self-talk. I stopped talking myself out of the book, and I started talking myself into the book. And even this morning, I got up at 4 o'clock and I was working on the book, and I was just feeling this pressure. I got so much more to do. And I got up, I opened the window because the sun was, I opened my blind, the sun was coming up. And as I was coming back, this thought came to me, you're almost done. Now that's a different thought than, oh, I got so much to do. And I was almost done. And I sat down a different person than when I got up, because my thinking was different. My self-talk was different, and I sat down, and I really was just pages from being done with that additional section, and it was such a joy, it was such a relief. And so if you're just tuning in, we've been talking to Irene Murathi from my favorite place, Nairobi, Kenya, and she's one of my favorite people, and she's the head of Personal Development Institute. Talk to us. We only have about 10 minutes, but money is also part of the work that you're doing, Money Makeover. Talk to us where self-talk and affirmations and all the things we've been discussing, how does it impact people's financial position?
I think, you know, people are the most important asset. We talk about human resource, and looking at my own journey and having worked in the bank and comparing that, we just had this conversation with Coach Betty Maura, and she was also relooking at her business, having worked at the largest, you know, Safaricom, you know, the largest telecommunication company in Kenya. And we realized that a lot of us are where we are financially because of our money stories, the subconscious stories we have told ourselves about money for many years. And some of it is stuff that we picked up while we were growing up in the villages. Both Betty and I grew up in the village. So you had things like money doesn't grow on trees. And we grow up and yes, we know it's not a physical tree, but you want to begin to interrogate that, because is Facebook a tree for Mark that has actually grown for him billions? So we began to realize that we must change our self-talk, but more importantly, we must sanction our beliefs about money, because there's so much, you know, there are many scriptures that support the idea of wealth creation. We read in the Bible that it is God that has given us power to create wealth. We also read that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. We read that if they honor him, they will spend their days in prosperity and pleasure. So there are all these scriptures about money. Then there's all this preaching in church. And sometimes you look at where your life is and realize, is it the preaching that is wrong, or why don't I have the financial results that I desire? We realized it still comes back to mindset.
Yep. Yeah.
And that is
so
where
true.
We then said, yeah, we then said, instead of being complainers, yes, we will do what we know from the Word of God in terms of giving, tithing, giving to the poor. But there is even a larger chunk of, can we change the subconscious thoughts that are in our minds about money? Because money in itself, as you know, is not evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. So, for example, money in the hands of Dr. John Stanko, what does it do? It feeds the hungry children in Kenya. I see your feeding programs. It sets up libraries and many other good things. Supposing you had $1 billion, you'd do much more, right? And that is why then we said, whether people believe in the conspiracy theories or not, and we'll not go into that about COVID, it still took a level of financing for some of the things to happen. So can we then positively, as the children of the kingdom of God, be deliberate about changing our money stories?
Yeah, because and that's why we've been susceptible to the financial offer, you know, that if you give $1,000 or 1,000 shillings, then the blessing of prosperity, your breakthrough is going to come through. Because we didn't believe we had the power to help make that happen. We needed some supernatural power. And so therefore, we were willing to gamble. We were willing to give that money and spin the spiritual wheel and hope that it would hit on the jackpot, because we didn't really think that we could work and create that kind of wealth, it was going to have to be winning a lottery, even a spiritual lottery. And so we see, again, that's an example of how thinking and self-talk has impacted our behavior. And, of course, I see it coming over. You know, we're African, we're Kenyan, we're poor, we're village people. You know, it's our governments, you know, corrupt. I was never given a chance, as you mentioned earlier, the victim mentality. And yet people can quote the Bible. Yet they can go to church. They can worship the Lord. And they're not bad people, but they are bound by their thinking, and the work that you and Betty are doing is really working to set the people free. Irene, we've got about 5 minutes, so what else do we need to cover? What else do we need to fit in? You've done a great job. Bring us on home now.
I guess it will have to be in the next show because we only have 5 minutes, but one of the things that quickly like to say about money and believers is I've realized people who have sowed their seeds, given to church, given to ministries for so long and their financial lives have not changed, they are right. Caught up in a level of bitterness. And I see it here in Kenya in the social media. And It's therefore important to realize that bitterness towards the church or the ministries you gave the money to, whether you are manipulated to give or you gave because your level of thinking at that time was, I'll just give this money and I'll become rich. The issue is being bitter does not change your circumstances. It actually makes it worse because then your creative mind is not functioning when you're full of bitterness. So I'd like to say that we shall continue to explore this, but just in summary, what we have said today is that we must sanction our beliefs and we must also sanction our self-talk and the affirmations that we make about ourselves. God has created us and put us in a wonderful world that's full of abundance from the air we breathe, from the water that is available. We are 7 billion people in the earth, meaning we are many
people.
7.5,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, 7.5 billion. So if you look around us, it's a world of abundance, not one of scarcity. But people experience personal scarcity because of the mindset. So let's begin to change that and let's begin to be grateful that we live in a world that is full of abundance and not scarcity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I go on safari, and I've written about that there's no lack. I mean, there's water, there's air, there's food for the animals. There are seasons of famine and drought, but they're exceptions, and it corrects itself to bring things back to normal. And so I just want to say to our listeners, I find this a lot in Kenya, that there's an impatience. You know, I'm 30 something and I should be someplace. I just want to encourage our listeners. This takes some time. It's not going to take the rest of your life, but you're okay where you are. I mean, when I turned 50, I thought, well, you know, you just do what you know to do, and hopefully you do it a little better and make some money. Those were my greatest growth years. My 60s were my most productive years, and now that I've entered my 70s, I want them to be my most meaningful years. But the most significant thing that took place in my 50s and was this thing we've talked about, how to change my thinking, and that God was with me in that. That it wasn't God didn't want to do something. I had one hand out, Irene, and I was with the other hand pushing things away with the way I was thinking. When I put both hands out, God has been very gracious to fill them, and I've never looked back, and my life has never been the same. So, Kenyans, and I know there are a lot of young people who listen. You engage the process now, and I promise you, in 10 years, you will be in a whole different place, and you will be right where you need to be.
Wow.
All right, my dear. Well, we're still on for the book. Just give me into the second half of the year, and as soon as they open that airport up, I'm going to come over and pay a visit. So thank you for your time. 1 minute, any final words?
Thank you so much for being my purpose coach. You're the best purpose coach in the world.
Well, you're very kind, and you said that just the way I wrote it for you to say, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
No.
All right, I'll talk with you later, and we may connect tomorrow. So you stay well, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye. Well, Irene Murray said we could do a two-hour show, and I do not prepare shows. I don't like to prepare shows. I like them to be spontaneous. I don't like the feed questions because I think it comes off as canned. By feeding, I mean giving them in advance. It's a little difficult when you're not face-to-face and eye-to-eye to get the body language and the cues, and I need to stop talking and you need to start, but it worked out well. That's it. Don't forget to download the ministry app, Purpose Quest International. Do me that favor and let's stay connected, and I want to share with you all the resources I have. On Monday, we'll be back at it. I got Pastor Sheldon Williams, who was a policeman, coming on. He's going to talk to us about some of the state of affairs in our country, and then Tuesday, I've got a counselor coming on. Wednesday, Pastor Yvonne's coming back on from England. Thursday, Pastor Mel. And Friday, some dear pastoral friends from Toronto, Canada. So this is John Stanker, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. Don't forget to be about finding and fulfilling your purpose until we're together again. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.